So we're getting in our heads that we're not God, but there is hope. He has not abandoned us. He loves us so much that he actually provides a way. Which leads us today to where we're going to be talking about the commitment choice. And we'll read that one together. Consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ and control. It is an opportunity for us. It's great for us to know that we're not God. It's great for us to know that he has the power to change us. But then if we don't do anything with it, then it really doesn't give us any lasting effect. When Jesus spoke the words that we see in Matthew 5:5, the audience was not only appalled, they were shocked. They expected their Messiah to be a superhero. Mel Gibson should have entered the stage with Braveheart and started to cry,
"Freedom!"
Thank you. On cue. You know, that's what we expect out of a hero. But Jesus walks on the stage and he gives a different voice. He says, "I want you to be meek." And meek we associate with mousy, or meek we associate with weak. What's he telling us to be meek about? There's something about this word that doesn't quite sit with us. I inherit the kingdom if I'm meek? And we get this wimpy Jesus image in our head, and somehow he's just a guy with long robes, and he might have a decent smile, but there is no power in our connection with this meek Jesus. But I want to give you a different picture today. I want to take you back a few thousand years to the temple. And Jesus walks into his daddy's house, and he sees it to be a place overrun with all kinds of stuff that didn't have anything to do with worship. And he was very pleased with that, right? Jesus was very happy to see that, right? He walked in. Now, he could have just wiped him off the face of the earth. I mean, that's where you have to understand who Jesus was and what he could have done. Instead, what did he do? Yeah, he got a little mad. He flipped a few tables and he says, "You have made my daddy's house a den of thieves," when in fact it should be a house of prayer. I want you to put that in your definition of meek. Here it is. Meek is strength under control. So that's the other picture is, you go back to the Greek and you say, surely it does have to do with humble. That is one word for meek. But really the root term of that comes like you're trying to break a stallion. So you've got this powerful horse who could literally crush you with one flick of a hoof. But somewhere along the way, Sarah Poling, you can take that stallion and you can make it bend to your will. Now, it doesn't lose its power. It's still got all the power in the world, but that power is under control in a way that brings amazing work or amazing beauty or amazing abilities. That's the definition of meekness we want to work with today. Meekness has always been God's way for humanity. How about 1 Peter 2:21 through 23? Christ, who suffered for you, is your example. Follow in his steps. He never sinned. And he never deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted. When he suffered, he did not threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. It gives us this picture of who Jesus is and how they can continue to be a part of our lives. Meekness has always been God's way for humanity. Moses is another example of that. A few slides later, we've got Numbers 12, verse 3. The Revised Standard Version of the King James puts it this way. "Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all men that were on the face of the earth." So what gave him that ability? Where does that meekness come from? And it seems to be this idea that meekness means I acknowledge God's holiness. That's what Moses had to do, right? Even at the burning bush, the very beginning of his ministry, so to speak. Of course, this was after he was a murderer. Remember? Remember the whole story of Moses? Moses took tail and ran to the backside of the world at that time to try to escape what he did. He thought he did justly because, you know, a guard was hurting, abusing one of his fellow Hebrews. But he took tail and ran for some 40 years, trying to just sort of figure out what was going on. And then finally God spoke to him, and there was a recognition in Moses' life that God is holy and I am not. So what we need to look at with this holiness is the idea we have to have a confidence in who I am. A confidence in who I am. Deuteronomy 10:17 reminds us who God is. So it lets us know who God is, and we know we're not that. God, your God, is the God of all gods. He's the master of all masters, a God immense and powerful and awesome. It does not say John Villers is, no, or Eric Messick. No, okay, our name is not in that title. He is God, and we understand who we are. We are His creation. And we have to have confidence in that. And I love the vernacular. Barbara Smith, this doesn't fit our English. God don't make no junk. Right? That's who we are. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. So the next part for us to have confidence in is a confidence in whose I am. This is me. How about 1 John 5? Confidence in whose I am. 1 John 5, 1. Everyone who? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is in fact a child of God. That's the promise that we're given. I know who I am. I'm not God. But I also know whose I am. I am in God's hand. You are in God's hands. So when we look at this commitment choice, there are basically three phrases that walk you through this commitment choice. We consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ, care, and control. So here's that first part. Meekness is my decision. We have to consciously make it. So that's what I want you to write after consciously. It's my decision. It's your decision. No one else can make it for you. I would love to say because of your upbringing or your pedigree or because your aunt's cousin's brother twice removed had a relationship with Christ that somehow connects you. The choice is in fact each of ours. And how do we make this decision? We have to choose to commit. And the deal with that, right after the little colon with choose to commit, it'd be nice to write over and over that it's not about a one-time commitment. We are really good sometimes. We Baptists, we want you to make a first-time decision. Well, I'm glad we want you to make a first-time decision, but I want you to make a second time and a third time and a fourth time. When you wake up in the morning, you're going to decide yet again where it is and how you will spend your day. So Romans 6:16 gives us these words. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? You can choose sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God and receive His approval. So there's that first part of this third choice that we're looking at to make. We have to choose to commit. So what do we choose to commit? Here's the next part. All my life and will. So after that, you can write in the word everything. All my life and will. How much of that is there? Everything. Luke 14:33 puts it this way. So no one can become my disciple without giving up everything for me. Our commitment involves something we do over and over. And I'm not saying that so that means we look over our shoulder. Well, then I don't know if I'm going to measure up or not. I don't know if you mean God's grace isn't enough. How many times did Christ die on the cross? Once and for all. That's not what I'm talking about. The commitment is on our part. Jesus' part is already done. Our part, our privilege, is daily to pick up our cross and follow Him, and to do that with everything that's in us. So we choose to commit all our lives and wills, and then what do we choose to commit it to? To Christ's care and control. And so what I really want you to get in your heads about that part of the phrase is, He loves me. If we are to put our lives in Christ's care and control, Matthew 11, 29 reminds us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest." He loves us. That's the invitation that Jesus continues to extend to us today. Now, the opportunity for us, though, are we willing to commit? The next 5 weeks that we're doing here at Philippi Baptist all hinge on the fact of whether we're willing to commit. We understand that God is God. We are unmanageable over our own hurts, habits, and hang-ups. We understand that He and He alone can restore us, and that we are going to consciously choose to commit our lives and our wills to Christ, to be placed in His care and control. So for many of us, we're starting a new chapter. For many of you all, you're starting a new semester, or you're starting a new school year. What a great opportunity as we enter into this time to commit. And there may be some this morning that have never started the journey yet. Praise the Lord. Today is the day. But the rest of us, if you, and of course this bulletin is only for your interest and your interest only, I would love for you though on your bulletin to write, "I will." Will you sign up? Will you sign up for the opportunity to commit your lives yet again to this one that we call Christ? So here's the commitment choice. We're going to read it together one more time. Consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. And here's another promise that He gives us out of John 10, 10. I, Jesus, came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. It is a promise that we have from Jesus Himself as we continue on this journey with Him. Commitment is a big word. We talk about commitment in relationships. We talk about commitment to a particular educational path that we choose, or a vocational path that we choose. Jesus wants us to sign up for a whole different enlistment. It's one that many of us have signed up for a long time ago, but it's one that we, in fact, can recommit together today. Let's go to Him in prayer. Almighty God, we are so thankful that You continue to lead us to this idea of a blessed life. Lord, we do want to find happiness. We so often end up chasing our own tail. We seem to know what happiness looks like, and it's forever out there right in front of us, and we can't seem to quite get a hold of it. And then, Lord, You come in and You speak and say, "Here's the deal. As you become meek, then the kingdom of heaven is yours." And Lord, we thank You that You, in fact, still care for us. You want to lead us. And Lord, we want to say, "I will," to commit to You, Your purposes, Your ways, to see Your kingdom come here in Barber County. Lord, we pray for the 1,000-plus students that will be arriving and those others that are going away to universities and colleges. They're entering into a new chapter of their lives. And Lord, we pray that they would commit to your ways as we go forward in this world. In your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.